Welcome to the H2MMO Podcast, video game reviews and more for the discerning video gamer. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the H2MMO Podcast. This is Mike B. I am the editor at H2MMO.com, where we have video game reviews, MMO news, and more. And today we have with us Brett S., who is our lead blogger.
Hello.
And we have, of course, Brandon, who is also one of our bloggers.
Hello.
And then we have another friend and game aficionado, Adrian E.
That's me.
So, guys, what have you been doing since Christmas, since our epic Christmas podcast?
Oh, yes, that two-hour-long thing we did. I've been playing a lot of PlayStation 3. That's about it.
It was only an hour and a half, and I promise that we're going to keep it down this time to roughly an hour.
No, sir. I say we go for 6 hours today. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm alone in that.
That sounds like there's a podcast on WoW.com, Octail and Hordak versus the World, and every year on Labor Day or Memorial Day or something, they do this epic podcast, and they go for until they collapse.
Shut Daddy's door.
So, oh wow, okay.
What?
There's a mute button for things like that. And then he mutes.
Oh, it's not working. My mute doesn't work.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
it's shorted.
Apparently, some of us have families. All right, so, wow, okay, Brett, so you got a PlayStation 3?
Yes. We haven't discussed it on the blog or the podcast, but I had quite an ordeal with that system in that particular store. Do you want me to discuss it, or do we have time?
Sure, in short, yeah, go right ahead.
Well, in short, they gave me a new system that had actually been, the box had been opened. The seal had been broken. They still sold it to me. It was missing a controller, which, as you know, is kind of an important part of a system. I took it back. They panicked because there was a line and gave me a used controller from another system, which didn't work. So at that point, the store was closed. I then went back the next morning, and finally there was somebody competent working there who I actually know and talk to, and he actually just gave me a new controller and traded it out. And after that, it worked. Everything worked. But yeah, that was a big pain.
And the store, this might have been a stop for games.
It was indeed a stop for games, and I won't say which one, but it was local to me. So those of you who know where I am, well, you probably still don't know which one it is because there's two near me. But yeah, it kind of shook my faith in that store. They've been good otherwise.
Well, you know, it's. They've gotten a little big for their britches, I think, maybe.
Well, it was a couple days after Christmas, you know, they were still, everything was sold out everywhere at all times, so, you know, it was hard to get anything that worked.
Well, if video game companies and everybody else, you know, would focus on customer service, and I actually heard a story about this not too long ago, Zappos.com, their customer service representatives, they go through a training program, and then the main focus of everything they do is when someone calls, you solve their problem. And they have the highest retention rate of customer service reps of any country in the nation.
You know, there's another fact about Zappos. The reason that they have the highest rate is after they go through their 2-week training, they offer them 2 weeks worth of pay to quit.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah. Which is a pretty interesting way of doing it. It was featured in one of the entrepreneur magazines. But yeah, they offer them 2 weeks worth of pay to quit, kind of to test them, you know, whether they really want to stay or not.
Uh huh. Well, now, you know, the funny thing about this is when I first started playing WoW, not the first guild I was in, but the second one that I was a member of for absolutely just years and years, was founded by a group of people that worked at Zappos.com. In Las Vegas, and they were a pretty good group of people, and I was the first non-founding member of the guild, and they brought me in, and I brought a bunch of other people in, and we had a very good run all through Burning Crusade, and had a wonderful time, and they were all very, very good people. and not, very few of them complained about their jobs. So go fancy that. So you have a PlayStation 3. That's awesome, Brandon. What? Yes.
No. Go ahead.
Yes. Brandon, what have you been up to?
Oh, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, mercy.
I had to go get it.
And?
Oh, it is sweet. It's fun. The game growth is much better than the first one. I have to say that.
The growth of your
for the multiplayer?
Yes.
Yeah.
The growth of your character profile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your online character as well as your They got a new thing called Special Ops that you can play multiplayer.
Yeah, that was so fun.
Yeah, that's also really good. Especially getting a C-130 and raining down on people with a friend. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, that was my favorite one, actually.
Well, that's...
The only thing I've seen that's bad about it is in the actual online. If you get a kill streak of 25, you can call in a nuclear strike.
Yeah,
that's just the game. That's just
really terrible idea.
So you've got one guy out there ganking everybody else till he gets 25, then he just mashes the button and ends the game.
Yep. And every single person on the map dies. I mean, what's the point of that?
Yeah, that's it's a little rough. You know, insta kills have always been a bone of contention, no matter what game it is, or there's always like one weapon or one thing that you can do. I think in the first Call of Duty Modern Warfare or something, was ganking people with grenades or something. I can't remember. I heard a story about it, and people were really upset because you could just get ganked with a grenade, and that was it. Game over.
Welcome to the real world, guys.
Yeah. I know. Grenades don't kill, dude. I've got a big hit point pool.
Whatever.
Come on.
People throw grenades at me all the time on the street. It's kind of weird. Yeah,
it's like
Jackie, but I survive it.
Just like Jackie Chan, man. Bat him away.
Yeah. You have to be Chinese for that.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay. All right. Adrian, what have you been up to since Christmas? Or, well, you weren't on the Christmas podcast, so what have you been up to recently?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't privy to such such things.
You know, we were saving you.
Right. Special
humility.
I come in like and out.
He's like a ringer, you know?
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. So what have you been up to in the video game world?
In the video game world, well, considering my video game world is limited to PC action, I have been I played the Batman Arkham Asylum,
which is on the PC.
Which is one of the ones that I'm going to review, and then I did borrow somebody's PS3 for a couple days, and those couple days were lost in Assassin's Creed, of course.
Ah. Excellent, excellent. You know, I just got in the mail, because the Christmas orgy wasn't enough, and my brother, he's not ahead of the curve by any means in terms of shipping Christmas gifts. Just a few days ago, I got, oh, here it is right in front of me, Assassin's Creed Bloodlines for the PSP.
I've heard bad things.
It received mixed reviews. Well, the thing about it is that it's kind of empty. The world is kind of empty, and the graphics are not as visually epic as they were for Assassin's Creed. My wife just, what? Some kind of Sims loud noise? Loud noises coming from the Sims. Imagine that.
I don't know. There's a mute button for that, though.
You know what? She is on mute. It was her computer that went off.
We didn't hear anything.
But the cities are empty. And when you climb up on the high spot and you look around, and instead of throwing you out to the horizon and then looking around, it kind of throws you out towards the horizon and then drops, and you get to look at all the buildings that are close by. So it does not capture that epic feel, but I mean, the gameplay and everything else is just the same as Assassin's Creed 1, and it would be a great trainer. If you bought this game, if you bought Bloodlines, and then you played Assassin's Creed, and then you played Assassin's Creed 2, your mind would just be blown. But if you don't play them in that order,
you have to play that one after the first one, because it's a sequel to the first one. So playing it before would be a bad idea.
I know. Well, I mean, in terms of story, yeah, I know. I think they kind of made miscalculation there. But in terms of technology, that's the way you should play them. In terms of story, no. Yeah, I don't know. It's gotten mixed reviews, so we'll see. I played it for about an hour yesterday. Mm-hmm. All right, so cool. Has anybody got anything else they want to get out of the way during the introductions?
Yes, I'm in love with a man. No, we're good.
Okay, wow. Let's hope we can cut that out with this.
Oh, no, we're leaving that in.
Okay, let's jump right from man love into video game reviews.
It's a good segue.
Yes, actually it is. And yeah, we're gonna go from man love to metal god love. One of my Christmas presents was Brutal Legend, which was published by EA and developed by Double Fine, and that was the video game. I think it was released in the fall of 2009 last year, right before the holiday season. And that was the one with Jack Black. He did the voice of the main character, Eddie Riggs. And if you have not played this game, and you grew up in, you know, the late 70s and the early 80s, during the whole era of the metal scene, like, oh my god. This game is just so... It captures the essence of that whole era just perfectly. I mean, all the symbolism and the iconography and everything else, it's just, it's right there. It's just an awesome game. Has anybody else played this one?
Yes, I have.
And what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I mentioned to you at one point in person that I had two copies of the game that I rented, and both of them were just, they would not work. I realize now it was probably my Xbox, which crashed not too long after that. But it was really, really fun, and you know, even I got, you know, most of the jokes, and you know, I don't know, I'm pretty knowledgeable about those days of music and metal and all that. So I got a lot of the jokes were hilarious, and you know, Tim Schafer, come on, you know, he's a gaming god. I mean, he doesn't, nothing he creates is bad.
I actually have a copy somewhere. Or used to have a copy of Grim Fandango from back in the day when that was one of the first ones that he did.
Yeah.
And
that was good.
It had that extremely insane kind of wacky offbeat vibe to it that everything that he does has. All right. Well, you know what? It took me about 10 hours or just under 10 hours to play this game through. I had it set on easy mode because I just wanted to have some fun. I was not looking for a challenge. The story was really, really good. The soundtrack was, man, they have everything from Budgie. Budgie was like the very first heavy metal band out of Wales, and they did the original Bread Fan, you know, that Metallica made, you know, that they popularized over here. Budgie was the ones that did the first one. And they had a female singer, and their music is just awesome. But they've got the Budgie, they've got the Scorpions, they've got Judas Priest, Black Sabbath, Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne, he does one of the voices. Rob Halford from, Judas Priest, he does one of the voices. And then I think there are a couple other people, Lita Ford, and some others that contributed to this game, and it is just awesome. The story's really good. Sucked me right in. The game world's big, but it's not overwhelmingly big like Morrowind. Like, my god, that, and you had to walk from one end of it to the other, and that was just a huge world. But this world's not that big, and you get a car so you can go places faster. And the car has a stereo, and guess what it plays?
Probably...
metal?
I'm gonna guess. Oh, well, okay.
Classical music?
I was gonna say the soundtrack, the Teletubbies, but I guess that's better.
No. The car's got this thing where you can use the D-pad and you can just, all the songs that you unlock while you play the game, you can scroll through them and play them, or you can pick and make playlists and you can play those. It's just awesome. And then when you park the car, like the radio's still blaring, and then you run away from the car and the sound fades. So it's really cool. It was really fun, and I had a good time playing it, and I really enjoyed it. The one thing that I did notice was that there's no damn jump button.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, what kind of game do you not have a jump button in?
Yeah, but you didn't really need it.
No, you didn't. but it was.
Keep in mind. Oh, sorry.
No, go no, ahead. Go right ahead.
Keep in mind, this is an RTS game. It's a strategy game disguised as an action game. So, yeah, you didn't really need the jump button.
Well, you know what? That was the RTS aspect of it kind of really freaked me out because it was, you know, in an RTS view, you're looking top down, you know, or three quarters, and you know, you got to place your buildings and build your stuff, and you can jump all over the map and stuff. And this is an RTS game that's tied to your general.
Yeah.
And then you have to fly out and position your troops and everything with your general. And it was like, of course, you know, I had it on easy, so it wasn't hard, but it was still, it was very different.
Yeah, it was.
So, but anyway, so yeah, I give that one like two thumbs up. Good stuff. Good stuff. Brett, what's your game review this week?
Well, mine's a very small game. Nobody's ever heard of it. It's called Metal Gear Solid 4. As you know, nobody's heard of that one.
No. Is that new?
It's a very, very, you know, little known series. You know, I've always loved these games. Ever since the original one, well, I don't say the original Metal Gear Solid, anyways, came out on the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. That was one of the two games I bought the PlayStation 4. The second one being Final Fantasy VII. I bought a PlayStation 2 for Metal Gear Solid 2. And of course, I bought the PlayStation 3 for this game pretty much almost entirely.
Well, it seems like you have your life priorities in order.
I do. That's, yep. It goes video games and social life and then women in that order. So,
that sounds about right for you.
Yeah. It's about right for most nerds. like our loyal listeners, wink. So, you know, the games have always been known for their gigantic and very long cutscenes, and they get longer each game. This is pretty much a movie that you play sometimes, and I'm not complaining because you know this going into it. It's kind of like an interactive movie where, and even the cutscenes, you can actually do things like switch to first person view to see things that you wouldn't be able to normally see. You know, pressing buttons at certain points gives you flashbacks from the first three games. So they at least keep it interesting, and of course the cutscenes are very, very cool. You know, they explain things, and being that this is the last, it's not the last game in the Metal Gear Solid series, but it is the last Snake video game, such as, you know, the Halo 3 being the last Master Chief game, even though they're making 10 million more Halo games.
Right.
Which, big flipping deal. I could care less about Halo.
But yeah, well, they sold that off, so I'm not too excited about the new ones.
Well, yeah, I mean,
who did they sell it to?
Microsoft sold it directly to who's the other developer that was with them? I forgot who it is.
Bungie?
Yeah, probably. I think.
Oh, Bungie Games. Yeah,
Bungie was the one that originally made the first one, and then Microsoft bought them for 2 and 3, and then Halo Wars. But you know, well, first off, I'd like to say that Harry Gregson-Williams, who has composed the scores for the games since the second one. He's also done, you know, movie soundtracks like Spy Game, which was an amazing film.
Mm-hmm.
Enemy of the State. He does a lot of kind of thriller stuff. I think he even did it for the Wolverine movie, which, but the score was good. His score for this game is just beautiful. I mean, you know, the parts that are sad are supposed to be sad. You know, the parts that are really, really intense are really, you know, you really get that feeling through the music. And of course, the story is just. I have not beaten it yet. I'm going to say that now. So, I haven't beaten it yet, so I don't know how it ends. But
so, everybody email in. You can get us at h2mmo.blog@gmail.com and tell Brett how it ends.
Oh, no. The thing is, I should specify I do know how it ends because I was impatient when I didn't have a PlayStation 3, so I actually looked up the entire plot synopsis. But I've forgotten most of how it ends anyways. So, but I'm rediscovering things, and, I mean, it is emotional. It is... The gameplay, I mean, they manage to keep the games fresh each iteration, which amazes me because you have some games, like the Ratchet and Clank games, they're all great games, but they're all the same. You know, they all pretty much have the same exact gameplay style and the same game mechanics.
Yeah.
And then there are some games that stay the same that are just not good. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but there are those games. So each game has, and this game actually incorporates elements from all three games, like the camo from Metal Gear Solid 3, you know, some of the things from the first two games, and man, it's every character from every game has pretty much come back, which, you know, so it ties up everything.
That's cool because it has been a solid franchise, like,
yeah,
from the get go. And when I, God, 12 years ago, 10 years ago, when I lived in Spain, I had a PlayStation 1 with the chip in it, and I had Metal Gear Solid in Spanish, and I played it through like twice, and it was just awesome, and I really enjoyed it. The final boss at the end was such a pain in the butt.
Yes.
But the thing that kept that caught my attention was that when I came back to the States and I tried to play it in English, I couldn't because I was so used to the guy's voice in Spanish, and apparently the voiceover actor he wasn't better, he just had a better sounding voice. I mean, his voice was awesome. I mean, it was really deep, and you know, and of course, the way they do it, you know, in the way they do the voiceovers and stuff in Spain, you know, they're a little more, they curse a little more over there, just as a you know, a matter of daily, you know, vocabulary, you know, and I've heard fathers start conversations with, you know, their little 7-year-old son, you know, well, shit, man, you see, it's like this. And, you know, because to them it doesn't carry as much weight, and so you get a little bit of that in the video game, and then you come over here to the States, and then you put the game in, and you try to play, and it's just a totally different experience, and then you're just like, hey, wait, this isn't Metal Gear Solid, even though it's the original.
Well, you know, also, back in those days, they were really censoring games over here. You know, they had the rating system, but swear words were really, really taboo in video games for a number of years. Now it's lightened up, and in fact, Metal Gear Solid 4 has a lot of F-bombs that are dropped, and they're used effectively, though. It's not, you know, there are some movies like, let's say, Boondock Saints, where they use the word every 2 seconds, and you don't, you know, it kind of loses its meaning. But when you hear a character say it in this game, you know that they're frustrated or, you know, something like that. So
there was quite a bit in Brutal Legend as well, but early on in the game, right when you're playing the story, they say, do you want to hear the you know, the cursing, or do you want us to bleep it out? You know, do you want to see the blood, or do you want to, you know, tone it down? And they ask you right in the story, so you get the option.
Yeah.
So that's
so cool. In closing, I would probably say that this is my favorite of the series so far. Of course, they're making a new one, Metal Gear. Well, they're making a few new ones, but the new direct sequel is Metal Gear Rising, which is you're going to play Raiden, who's a character that was introduced in 2, and in fact is in this one as well, as a much different character. People hated him in 2, mainly because they pulled a little switcheroo on you, and you didn't play for Snake as most of the game in Metal Gear Solid 2.
Mm-hmm.
You played as Raiden, and people were angry. And not only that, but he was just a whiny little... He was basically Luke Skywalker Episode 4, but 10 times worse. But he's a much different character in this, and all the characters have evolved and things. And I would probably say the game's a perfect 10 out of 10 for me so far.
Really? So, wow, that's high praise.
Having said that, well, yes, I knew what I was getting into when I bought it. Having said that, we'll move on. I guess Brandon would be next.
Brandon would be next, huh?
What video game have you been playing lately?
All right, so just for funsies, I went out and found a game called Empire Craft. So it's a straight web browser game. It's a civ builder. You know, build up your army, fight off other player characters, other live people, as well as the demon hordes that are attacking you.
So you're playing against other people.
As well, yes.
Cool.
You also, you know, you can join unions and factions and stuff like that. But it's a very slow-paced game in that it uses real time to do building and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But it's real nice to play in between doing other things, like playing WoW or League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
While something's building, you come back to it an hour later, and it's finished, and you do something else. So a real slow game, but it's real addicting in its growth and things like that.
Okay, I've got some screenshots of it right here. It looks a lot like the same level of graphics as you would have gotten in Age of Empires.
Yes.
Or the first one, or maybe Age of Empires 2.
Yeah. The thing with this, it's there's no install.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all browser game. You just register with a creature character name, and that's it. You go to town.
Wow, that just blows my mind that now that we can do stuff like this in a browser window. That's sick and ridiculous.
Yep.
That's cool, man. So, and have you been playing it much, or?
Going on day two right now. Actually, I was looking at it as we were talking, watching my Civ build.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, that's what factions and stuff do they have in it?
There's human, dwarf, elf, and orc. Those are the four main races, and you're against the I forgot. There are like mermaids and harpies and devils. So you fight against them and things like that. I mean, you just build up an armed force and go fight.
And now you're fighting them and the other players are your allies, or you're fighting them and the other players?
Both. So some of the players are your allies. Some of them, after your initial 7-day secure time is up, you can be attacked by other players.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow, mermaids with herpes, that's serious.
It is. It's
sounds
very
like a couple dreams I had.
And here comes Brett to ruin the mood.
That's what I'm known for.
Good lord.
So, yeah, it's not a big, adventurous game, but it's a fun little in-between goof-off game. So.
All right, well, that's cool. That's very cool. Adrian, what have you got for us?
I got Batman Arkham Asylum. I got, you know, of course, let me premise this by saying it was on PC, so I'm not sure how different it was on the other platforms. I don't think it should be too different, but overall, like I like the game, the fighting, cool, I'd say, but like the thing I look for the most in game is like, can I still play it after I beat it? And that it definitely does not score well on that end. It's cool going all the way through. You end up playing the Joker. He becomes this enormous, almost too unreal for even for a Batman series. And then once you beat him, you can go around the world and look for, you know, Joker clues, or not Joker clues, the Riddler's clues. But other than that, you're pretty much by yourself. So if there's anyone that you hadn't killed yet, then you can go back and kill them. But other than that, it's pretty much an empty world. So after I beat it, I pretty much haven't touched it since.
Well, you know what? I got this quite a while back when I was on vacation and played it. And I got about 18% of the way through and then got distracted by something else. I don't know, probably WoW. And not that I play a lot of WoW or anything.
No, of course not.
It's not like I have, I don't know, 380s and I don't know, anyway.
Dead elves everywhere.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dead elves, and I know
I
where
appreciate
the
it.
I know where the harpies live in WoW, Brett, just in case.
Okay, there, well, give me the number. And
I'll send you some screenshots.
Yeah.
But
dead elves as a result of mermaids with herpes.
But
yeah,
so
WoW herpes are way worse. Anyway, go ahead, Mike.
This is a very dark game. Like it's very, very dark. And
you know what? And I absolutely loved portions of it. I mean, it went through. It was almost a psychological type of feel to it. When at one point you're poisoned with the what's his name already?
Scarecrow.
Yeah, Scarecrow.
Scarecrow.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, and you're going through, and you're walking down the hallway, and the hallway just keeps going. And next thing you know, like the walls start breaking apart, and it's like a very smooth, very well done conversion into a back alley in the city. And then you become a boy, and the voiceover is around you. And you know, I had my Bose headphones in, and it was just amazing because the voiceover is around you, going left and right, and it's your parents and the whole scene, you know, at the beginning. Everybody who knows Batman knows the scene at the beginning when the parents get shot. And
they do?
I hope so.
Damn it, you've ruined it for Brett now.
I know, and Santa Claus is not real, sorry.
You can't say things like that.
But yeah, that whole part was really cool, and then, you know, there's the one part when he walks into a morgue, and it's all dark and damaged inside, and like doors are opening up, and like whispers of, you know, telling you to get out of here, and all that kind of stuff, and it was at nighttime when I was playing, and I was by myself, I had my headphones in, and it was really kind of cool. And then of course then there were all of a sudden you walked back into the door you came in, and it was still the same scene. It was still you ended up still in the same room, except mm-hmm. for the fact that now there were bodies on the table.
And they were twitching. I remember that. Twitching. They were twitching.
And,
yeah,
and it was yep. it, you know, and they were, I guess they were supposed to be your parents and all that. So it was played in the right environment. It was really, really pretty cool. The only thing I had against the game really was the fact that after you play it, that's pretty much it, you know. And I'm not one to go through and spend hours trying to find clues all to unlock some, you know,
art.
Yeah, some art or something like that. Exactly. It's not. I know that's your run, Brett. But you know, feathers just aren't my thing.
One art, please.
But yeah. So, but I mean, overall, the game's fun. But it's one of those games that you play it and you're done.
Yeah, you know, I haven't finished it. I really, and Brett's played this too. I really enjoyed that they got. Correct me if I'm right on the names. Kevin Conroy. To voice the Batman,
yes,
he did
right.
the original Batman, not the original, but the Batman the, animated series during
yes
the 90s, wasn't it?
And I met him actually,
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah,
does he not look like a Ken doll?
No, he doesn't.
He used
we talked
to.
About this at one point. He looked a little
like
back in the
Matlock days. I saw him on Matlock, and he looked
okay. Well, that's been quite a while since those days. But
are you saying I'm old?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he actually appointed, so. No, it's been a while since those times.
So
you know?
they got Kevin Conroy to do Batman, to reprise his role as Batman, and he's still doing Batman in some animated movies and stuff. And then yeah. they got Mark Hamill to come back. Luke Skywalker himself is the voice of the Joker, and he does, it's probably the best piece of voiceover work he's ever done. The Joker role, and he is so
yeah.
good at it.
Yeah,
there is literally everybody else just sucks compared to him.
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, if you go to the movie, I think what's his name did an amazing job.
Oh, Heath Ledger. But see, the problem.
He's talking about voiceover stuff, though.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay,
the problem with Heath Ledger though is that like he had to go and OD on the Olsen twins, and he can't come back and. You know, I really like Heath Ledger's work, except for that one movie that he did about that
which
mountain.
Which movie is that, Mike?
It's the one about the mountain and the cowboys and the hot pants.
You like what I like about you or whatever?
I like pretty much everything he did. But A Knight's Tale, you know, when he
we
did that was a crazy.
A
we should, but
just a quick note. I was just looking up the voiceover for that Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
There is going to be a second one.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
The teaser's already out, actually.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that. So
that's awesome. That's good stuff, man. All right. Well, then, yeah. Let's move on. What do we got? What do we got upcoming in the video game world? One of the ones that I just has captured my imagination, and I don't know if it's good, bad, or indifferent, because I've read all kinds of things about it, is Darksiders.
Yes.
It's Darksiders has just released. If you look on the website, we've got the January games up, and Darksiders is in it. It's already been out. And because I didn't do this at the top of the show, it is Sunday, January 17th, so that you know where we're coming from.
In case you're wondering about the date, just skip in until about 40 minutes in, and you'll get it.
Yeah, because we are really good that way. But
yep.
Darksiders is, depending on who you read or who you talk to, it's either an homage to the Legend of Zelda and the God of War franchises. It released January 5th. Or It's a complete ripoff of those two franchises, and it just depends on who you talk to. But you play as the one of the horsemen of the Apocalypse War, and he accidentally sets off the end of the world, Armageddon there, and he's got to go fix it.
Yeah, he was tricked into starting Armageddon.
So basically the world is going to crap all around you, and you have to, you've got to fix it. You've got to set things right. And the thing that captured my imagination...
I think the world looks better that way.
Yeah, well, you know, certainly some parts of it do. The game's gotten generally good reviews, and the symbolism of, you know, the whole end of the world thing and the apocalypse, you know, from the Christian Bible is just so rich and ripe for the video game industry to just go in. I mean, because you've seen all kinds of stuff, like the movie Constantine, where they're fighting, you know, the heaven and hell and the demons and this, that, and the other, and the fact that you've got, you know, a real world and then another world layered on top of it that you can't see, but they can still interact. That whole mythology is just so ripe that you could just do anything with a video game. And the fact that you can create the visuals that'll go along with that now, you know, and they look so real. You know, you've got the high-def, you know, video games. It just, it blows my mind. I want to see it just to see what it's like. But anyway, so that's, I was really excited. I don't know if you could tell.
Nope, didn't go through at all.
No? Damn. I've got to work on that.
Can we redo that? I missed it.
Oh! I'll just play it twice. I'll just loop it.
Yeah.
with the same emotion, please.
Okay.
Yes.
This time with feeling. Brett, you wanted to talk about another game that that looks like it might be kind of cool.
It could be a little cool. It's called Mass Effect 2. You know, the first one I think was BioWare's best game, without a doubt, without beyond any shadow of doubt, and certainly the best game on 360. You know, of course, it was a PC. I always say it's a 360 exclusive, even though it was on PC, but let's face it, everything that is a system exclusive seems to also be on PC.
Mm-hmm.
It also came out a bit later on PC, I believe. Mass Effect 2 will actually get... It will hit 360 and PC at the same time, January 26th. So you can imagine I'm counting down the days quite excitedly. You know, the thing I love about this game is that your decisions in the first game, you know, will directly affect the sequel. It reads your save file, and you know, plot points are kind of created out of that. So I think that's really cool. Because I played through the game four times when I first played it.
Wow.
And that's not a game.
That's going to mess your plot points up.
Well, I hope you can pick which one, because if so, there's going to be a whole amalgam of you know, plot points that conflict with each other.
Well, in the first game, you killed this character. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So I hope they'll let you pick which one. They've kind of redone the whole system. The first game had, you know, a great combat system, a great level up system, and I mean, phenomenal music. It felt like you were watching Blade Runner. And people might think that's kind of a weird thing to say, because, you know, Blade Runner isn't really...
You're old.
Well, I am 182. That's besides the point. But, you know, it felt very 80s sci-fi-ish, but in a great way. I mean, people really play... I'm getting tongue-tied now. Praise the soundtrack. And the same composers will be back for this one. So I'm excited about that. The thing that really interests me, and this is not a spoiler because they've been talking about it since, well, you know, earlier in 2009.
Is that big gun that you can get if you pre-order the game?
Well,
that puts him in the toilet.
Yes, but you know, yeah. There's also that pre-order crap. You know, depending on where you get it from. But the main character can die at the end of the game, depending on your decisions. You know, the whole thing is that. This is supposed to be a suicide mission that he's preparing for the entire game, and the designers have shown video of either the main character dying, like, or every single character in the game dying when a ship explodes, or everyone surviving, I mean, the fact that your character can just die at the end of the game if you don't prepare well or whatever is really cool to me.
Doesn't that kind of, I don't know, interfere with the chances of a sequel?
No, because they're definitely going to make a third one. And, you know, every other BioWare game they've ever made, you've never played the same character in both games.
Yeah.
So that's why I like this one, because you actually do. But obviously the third one will probably not have Shepard as the main character. You know, think about it, because, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, you were a different character. Baldur's Gate 2, you were a different character.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dark Age or Dragon Age Origins, you'll play a different character.
Oh my god, I just thought about this. They're coming out with an expansion already.
Yes, they are.
For the first one. And so it's like a $30 expansion. So you go pay $60 for the game, then you go pay like some $7 or $15 for some downloadable content.
It's
and then
like 20
you
to
go
30.
And play or pay. Well, I got some of it for free.
Yeah.
Because of where I bought it. And
yeah,
then
exactly.
You get the expansion now for another $30. Like, holy crap. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great game, don't get me wrong, but if they're gonna do this with all video games now, like, oh my god, we're gonna get nickel and dime to death.
This is something I actually want to talk about in one of our next podcasts, because it's a really bad decision on video game developers' parts. They're making money, but they're pissing off their client base. But, yeah, I'm very excited about this. It's been the game I've been looking forward to for 2 years now.
Cool.
The biggest game I've been looking forward to for 2 years of all of them. So I'm very excited. You're probably not going to see me at all for the next month after it comes out. So
well, cool. All right. Well, I definitely look forward to that. I have a confession. I've never, because I don't have
a
360. I've never played these games, and I love BioWare and I love their stuff. We actually do have an old Xbox. That belonged to my wife before we got married. And I actually played KOTOR 2. For those of you not in the know, that's Knights of the Old Republic 2. Although, if you're listening to this podcast, how could you not know that? And I played that and loved it. And that was where, like, I really got into BioWare. But we've got some other cool games, too. Brandon, you wanted to talk about some little game that's coming out.
Yeah, you know, it's little. No one's ever heard of it. I mean, it's the only 13th one in the series. I'm talking Final Fantasy 13.
Yes.
March 9th.
Wow, that's a couple months down the... Well, it's not too... January,
no, it's not. March. It's only about a month and a half away.
Ooh, wow, that is closer.
Yes, it is.
No and sooner is Christmas over.
I mean, I've played every Final Fantasy out there since they first came out.
Yeah, same here.
So... Been looking at this one, been looking at the gameplay, the storyline. Oh, it looks so much better than 12.
You know,
I think they're finally actually trying to get back closer to how 7's storyline was.
I have 12, and I played it, and I probably got most of the way through it, but I just got so tired of grinding, killing monsters for gold to buy 6 people equipment.
Yep.
It was
That was the same thing with me.
I mean, and the graphics on 12... Like, holy crap, a PlayStation can do that? I mean, it was the same, you know, Final Fantasy XII and God of War, like when you put them in and you were like, this system is so many years old and it can still look this good. I mean, they both pushed the envelope. But the gameplay was, just kind of wasn't there.
Yeah, so the next one. Your summons can apparently be ridden as vehicles.
Oh.
Motorcycles, cars... I mean, their chain attacks are much different than what they used to be on how they look and follow through. That's going to be really neat to see.
Mm-hmm.
The storyline looks pretty good so far. Like I said, I've seen some of the gameplay. The world event is, instead of walking around getting a random mob, you can actually see the monsters in front of you, flying above you, things like that.
Yeah, so you can go looking for them.
Yeah, it's going to be much nicer to play like that.
Go pick a fight.
But instead of like how, you know, it used to be you see them on the ground, you're actually walking, so third person behind them, you see the monsters flying above you in the sky and the ground coming at you, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be awesome.
Well, cool.
That's one I want to play.
I've God, I still have Final Fantasy VII. I got the download for the PlayStation 3. Like, I have the port. Like, I wish they had updated the graphics and the controls or something, because you can't use the thumbsticks. And now, so many years after thumbsticks came out, like, it's really hard to go back to the D-pad to make him run around.
I still have my original one for PlayStation, as well as I have a copy for the computer.
Wow. That's good nostalgia stuff right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's coming out March 9th?
March 9th, PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360.
Oh, both.
Yes.
Oh, now, because now Final Fantasy has been a PlayStation staple for many, many moons.
Yeah, they moved away from Nintendo and went to PlayStation.
I just want to point out something interesting that has nothing to do with anything. There have been 3 Final Fantasy games on each system, which is really weird to me. It's been 3 each time.
Huh. I did not know this.
3 for NES, 3 for Super, 3 for PlayStation, 3 for PS2, and now we're moving on to the next gen, so probably will be 3 on this one as well.
What about PSP? I have Crisis Core on PSP.
Well, I'm talking about main series entries.
You're a jerk.
Hey, you're when jerk. 14 comes out, that's going to be 2 for PC.
Yeah.
Because 14's coming out too, because my brother, he's
technically
talking about that.
Technically, yes. There have been other Final Fantasy games for PC. 7 and 8, I think maybe even 9 were on PC as well. So.
Cool. All right. Well, that's awesome. Adrian, what did you want to talk about? I know you had a little game that you wanted to talk about.
You mean up and coming game?
Oh, yes.
Well, I mean, mine's kind of not fair, but it's Assassin's Creed 2. And it does count as up and coming because it's up and coming on the PC. Since that's my main platform, I'm really looking forward to that. As all of you know, games that have open worlds and the most freedom as possible is what I'm into.
Well, you're quite the Assassin's Creed junkie, aren't you?
You know what? I am. I'm not a big gamer in general, but Assassin's Creed has definitely sold me. I since the first one came out, I was sold on it. So,
but Assassin's Creed though, because I've just started now to dabble in the series. I have the one on the PSP. I've got Assassin's Creed 1 that I bought in anticipation of Assassin's Creed 2, and I've played a little bit of the PSP and the first one. These are really complicated games.
Oh, they're extraordinary. I mean, the developers really had to work to give you so much freedom, yet keep a storyline together. And that's what I really like. I like the fact that I can do anything. I can in Assassin's Creed 2 even more than the first one. Since I played it on PS3, it was. I mean, you don't have to do anything in any order. There's a lot more freedom, a lot more options when it comes to what you do and when you do it, and you can say no, I'm not going to do that yet, I want to do some other stuff. So it just adds a lot to the game, and it's an extraordinary series. I'm looking forward to seeing what else they do with them.
I want to get the chance, man. It's between work and family and everything else, and wow. It's hard to find the time to get into a new franchise, but I
like how you try to make yourself sound like a normal person by saying work and family first,
and then wow. But
it's tough.
The bosses in those dungeons that drop all of that fat loot are not going to kill themselves, and I feel obliged to go in and help. I mean,
no, I know. You gotta go roll some heads, man.
That's what it's all about. But this is a very good franchise.
And from what I understand, there's a couple additional. Correct me if I'm wrong, there, Brett. Additional stories or missions that they're adding on that I'm guessing will be in the PC version right away, but they're adding on to the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions.
Yeah, there'll be downloadable content. I think they said that one will be out in January and one in February.
That should make it all onto the PC version, because that's not going to be out till March, I think.
I wouldn't count on it.
Oh, really?
They're very stingy. with PC games that come out later, with putting out, you know, stuff that they're making people pay for on the consoles.
Really?
Yeah. Now, there are some exceptions, like Gears of War, when that came out for PC, that actually had extra stuff that the console gamers didn't have at all and never have had been able to play. So, I'm not sure.
So, they're making you pay for this, the downloadable content?
Oh, yeah. That's how...
Even after making you wait.
Yeah, I know. You know, hey, y'all were talking about Apple and their expensive products. They make you want to give them money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing here.
It is, and I guess, Brett, we're going to have to develop a whole thread on this about the downloadable content and stuff, because I think I agree with you, and, you know, yes, I think it's neat, but, I mean, what happened to the days of just, you know, putting something into your console and just playing, you know, and I realized we complained back then because, you know, why didn't they fix this before they released it? Well, you know, they ran out of time,
yeah.
And now they can fix it, but it's just like... It seems like you've kind of gone from one extreme to another. I turn on my PlayStation, and my freaking PlayStation has to patch the OS. I put in a game, and the game has to install, and then it has to patch 6 times, and it's only a month old, and it's...
Well, that's a problem. That's a PlayStation 3 problem.
So, you know, I don't...
You know, that downloadable content thing, I think it's mainly a marketing thing. It's almost like those add-ons that you have in the plane where they make you pay for pillows and pay for this and pay for that. If you give the person the option to say, hey, this is the game with base things, and then you can add on options for this price and this price and this price, or this is the price of the entire game,
mm-hmm.
I think that would make people a little bit better at that. But the fact that you're not saying anything, you're just saying, here's the price of the game, and then you add on, it makes people feel like, okay, I thought I paid for the entire game, and now I'm having to pay again for the same thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not presented right, I feel.
Well, you know what? That's... Let's work on this. Let's blog about it a little bit. Let's get some articles up, and then we'll come back, you know, maybe in episode 2 and talk about it a little bit. Maybe we'll get a little rant on. Because, yeah, I think it deserves taking a look at, and I think it, you know, a lot of people feel the same way. So we'll definitely have to do that. All right, well, look, running...
Anyway, that's my game.
Awesome! we're running out of time.
All right, let's each spend about a minute talking about our next things, then... We can be done with it by 1:15.
Yeah, the MMO news. What's going on in the world of MMOs? Everybody knows I play this little game called WoW with, I don't know, 11 million other people.
Wow.
10 million of them in China farming gold. And because of the gold farming and the account hacking that goes on and the power leveling and stuff like that, because... you know, people's accounts get stolen all the time. And then, of course, you've got groups of people in guilds, and then they have a guild bank, so they have a pool of items and resources and money apart from their personal ones. And when your account gets hacked, then, you know, all of your guild stuff can get, you know, stolen by the person who hacked, you know, your buddy's account. A lot of problems with this, a lot of customer service time, and energy has been put into this and restoring people's accounts. Blizzard is actually, or WoW.com reported that Blizzard, that unnamed sources inside Blizzard are reporting that they are considering requiring, security authenticators on all WoW accounts. And for those of you who don't know what a security authenticator is, if you don't work in the IT field or if you don't have one for a while, it's basically just a tiny little a piece of plastic with a little screen on it, and it spits out a number, you know, every 2 or 3 minutes. And when you log into, you know, your application, you put your name, your password, and then you have to put in this string of numbers, and this string of number is synced up with their servers or what have you. And if you don't have, if somebody has your account name and your password and they don't have your authenticator, they can't log into your account. So Blizzard, WoW.com reported that Blizzard is actually considering making this a mandatory feature in order to play WoW. And my first thought was, you know, holy crap, you know, required authenticators for a video game. I've done work for banks, where you have to have an authenticator to log into their system, to their intranet, and to do IT work for them. And it's a security thing, you know. They mail it to you, to your company or whatever. You use it, you log in, you do your work, and you mail it back. And they know who, you know, if you're using that authenticator, they know who you are and who was in the system and what you were doing. And it's a security thing because you're working with people's money. But this is a video game. Like, wow. Like, the gold that's in the video game, it's not even real money. Like,
hey, didn't that one guy pay like $330,000 for a property in one of these games?
You know,
and he makes actual real rent from it.
Oh, you're talking about Second Life or something?
It wasn't Second Life, but it was similar to it, and he paid $330,000 for a property that gets rented out within the game, and he actually gets real revenue from it.
No, I have not heard that, but I know that they have some setups like that in Second Life, but that's a lot of money. It's this line between, you know, the digital divide, you know, between the real world and the digital world, like, wow, it's getting fuzzy. It's just really, really, really getting fuzzy. And you don't notice it. You don't notice, you know, how intertwined this stuff is until there's a storm at your house and your power goes out.
I kind of do. I see you growing horns here.
To look like Illidan from Burning Crusade?
Oh, I have no clue. To look like your black cow.
But, you know, so this... You know, wow, a security wafer for a video game. You know, they're going to have to do a really good job with this, or 11 million people are going to be pissed off. You know, and that's, you know, people talk about money in video games. You know, that's, let's be nice and just say that's $13 a month times 11 million. Then that's what, you know, WoW makes in a month.
11 million of your closest friends.
And that's, you know, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of momentum. And I understand that they have a problem with this and that they've got to fix it because apparently hacking has become so pandemic that they just don't know what to do with it. I mean, they've got entire divisions of their customer service organization just working on, you know, this hacking problem. And it's social hacking. It's not like the game's unsecure or anything. It's, you know, you give your name and password to a gold service or a power leveling service, and then, you know, they do whatever they're going to do. You pay them your money, and then, you know, 3 months later they come back and hack the living crap out of your account and steal everything you have. But wow, I just, you know, the same kind of security measures that we have to have for financial or government institutions is getting put on a video game, and I just, that blows my mind. It really, really blows my mind. Anyway, Brett, what you got coming up for us with the MMO news?
Well, there's Star Trek Online. The beta is actually out. People are playing it. They moved from closed beta to open beta recently.
Oh, Star Trek?
If I'm yes.
Captain Kirk?
Well, not exactly. It's actually set after the movies. You know, after the latest movie. Or Nemesis, which is not the latest movie, but...
I'm sorry, that response was illogical.
You're illogical. So is your face.
Keep it clean, guys. Keep it clean.
Oh, trust me. That was me. That was me keeping it clean. I'm going to say some terrible things after the podcast, though.
Awesome!
But, you know, it's made by Cryptic Studios, who created City of Heroes, and that was... I think people would agree that was a very good MMO. A lot of people played it. It's one of two... MMOs that I've ever played for an extended period of time, the other being WoW. I don't really think I played that much, though.
No, much to Mike, some people's disappointment.
Mike will agree to that. But I like it. I like STO because, well, it kind of sort of feels like an offline RPG that you play online. You know, like the ability to recruit NPCs to your ship and having your own ship. You know, instead of, like, I guess everyone has their own ship as opposed to, you know, one ship and you know, 30 different crew members comprised of your friends and whatnot.
I don't think you said ship enough in that last little bit.
I'm going to say ship 10 more times. Ship. So, here's the thing, though. You know, they're obviously going for the niche market of Star Trek fans.
That's a huge niche market, though.
You know what? You say that, but the TV show Enterprise failed because it got terrible ratings. The movies have never gotten, except for the new one, the Star Trek. Lately, the past two or three of those have not done well in the box office.
Mm-hmm.
People's faith was shaken in the series, I think. Now, I'm not a Trekkie. I do like Star Trek, but I'm not a Trekkie.
Wasn't some of that failure like due to Rick Berman and the other guy that produced Paramount. It? Aren't they like kind of taking less of a role in it now? Or
it was a lot of I guess so. You could say that. Well, I think that it wasn't their fault. It was more Paramount was not living up to their obligation contractually. There was a big lawsuit about it. But
oh yeah, because Star Trek, I haven't seen the film yet, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it. And I've seen some trailers and some good stuff, and it doesn't. The reboot doesn't feel anything like some of these past movies.
It's not, and that's a good thing.
So, yeah, something different's going on.
They got smart. There's actually a good reboot for once.
Woohoo!
But yeah, you know, I have a few friends playing the beta. I don't know what's happening with me because I signed up for the beta and I never got any notifications to try it out. I just found out recently that apparently you had pre-ordered it.
Mm-hmm.
From a stop for games that we go to be in the beta. I was not aware of that. I was told by the Star Trek Online website, just sign up here and you'll be put in the beta. No, I'm not in it.
Cool.
The game though comes out February 2nd. I will be buying it. Playing with my friends. Expect a blog about that and probably a podcast.
Well, one of our tanks from WoW that we work with is also interested in giving Star Trek Online a shot. So we're expecting to hear, because you know, a lot of us are waiting for Star Wars. We haven't hidden this or covered this up. A lot of us are just we enjoyed WoW and we continue to enjoy WoW. But I want a laser blaster, and we're waiting for Star Wars. It's BioWare. And we still have no idea when that's coming out. I've heard now that GameStop has got them out in 2011, but GameStop's reporting on when video games get released. The earlier out that they're making their prediction, the more margin of error that they have, and sometimes it can be quite a great deal.
Yeah.
So we don't know when that one's coming out. Star Trek Online is coming out now. So I'm assuming that if you really got to get your laser blaster on, some people are going to go look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at it. It actually looks like you and your friends can get onto the same ship and work together throughout the ship.
And then I've heard, too, that you can get on somebody's beeping. Stop Skyping me. All right, we've got to keep it moving. That was Adrian. You could have just said, hey, let's keep it moving.
I didn't want to be rude and interrupt, but.
That's why we get on a podcast, is to be rude and interrupt. All right, so Star Trek Online. Adrian, you wanted to talk about Stronghold.
You know, it's a game that I played in its early stages, the first few games, and it was a lot of fun. But, apparently now they're joining the MMO world. You can play online, and I think this is the first. I'm not sure 100% whether the new game here they got coming out. What's the name of it again? It is called.
What's the premise of the game?
It's basically kind of like a Civ game. You build up your army. You defend your bases. You conquer other armies. That's kind of the basis of the game, and then it just gives you different environments to do that in. As the games have advanced and different things to build, different weapons and stuff like that. Overall, I mean, it's a pretty cool game. I enjoy it. I love those strategic type games. And Stronghold Kingdoms is the name of that one coming out this year. And and you're gonna be able to play it online. So I might be interested in seeing how that one goes.
All right. Well, you can find out more about that at www.fireflyworlds.com or www.strongholdkingdoms.com if you're interested in that. And that looks... I like building castles and then wanging on people.
There you go. You can wang all over people.
Yeah, with my ballista.
This just got weird.
Yeah. Hey, wrap it up, man. I need to go wang on people.
Okay. Brandon, what do you got for us for the MMO news?
All right. So, for those of us who don't like to pay or can't really afford to pay the monthly fees for online MMOs, I have found one called Perfect World International. It's a free MMO, awesome graphics, awesome storyline, massive world to explore. It's based out of China, so the characters and things like that are based on their mythology. You know, you can be beast people, you can be humans, elves, you can be fish people. So there's 4 different races, 8 different classes. It's just a real nice MMO that's free. It's got a few million people, only about 7 servers, but it's really stable, even with that many people. I've been playing it now for about 2 months, and with a level cap of 105, there's a lot to do.
Sounds so big. Sounds cool.
It's really big. It's really cool.
All right, and then you did a write-up on that for us on the blog, right?
I did, yes. I gave some more information about the races and some of the environment, things like that.
All right.
So if anyone wants to play, come find me on Rising Tides is the server name.
Actually, I'm actually downloading that right now. So,
okay. Do you want to give your character name out on the podcast or?
Sure. The main one I'm on is I'm with her.
That's your name of your characters. I'm with her.
Yep. The Crinks is on there too, but I'm with her is because I play it with my wife, and hers is I'm with him.
That's awesome.
Oh, we get a lot of comments about it, but it's fun.
All right, well, that's fantastic. So I'm with her, and that's Brandon Y. If you want to go play Perfect World with him, and what server are you on?
Rising Tide.
Rising Tide. Okay.
It's a PVE server.
Okay. Good. All right. Well, does anybody have anything else before we wrap it up and close it off?
Nope, that would be it.
Nope, I'm gonna start my winging.
All right. Well,
that's awkward.
That, you know, it means to hit someone. I don't know what you could possibly be thinking of, but that's what it means.
That's what I meant. I'm going to wang on some elves. Let's go.
There you go. All right, well, thanks, everybody. Thanks. Thank you, Brett, Brandon, Adrian, for coming out and helping
thank
us with
you.
The podcast. Lots of good stuff. Again, if you like the music that you hear in the podcast, that's a Blind Monkeys. They're a local band out of St. Petersburg, Florida. You can find out more about them at blindmonkeys.com. That's blindmonkeys, MONKEEZ.com. Wonderful band, great sound, and they're playing out constantly, so you can find them if you're in the St. Petersburg area. You can look them up, and chances are they're going to be playing in a bar near you. If any questions or anything, any questions or comments, you can leave comments on our blog posts. You can also contact us at h2mmo.blog@gmail.com. We always welcome letters and emails. As a matter of fact, if you send us an email, then there's a chance that we're going to get back to you directly, and you may wind up on a podcast. Isn't that right, Adrian?
Yeah, that's right. That's what happened.
So please feel free to give us your insights into what we're doing, because we're always looking to make ourselves better. And thanks for listening. That's all we have for today, and then we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
I refuse.
Bye.
I will not say goodbye. I mean goodbye.
Say something.
I say goodbye.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
That's it. All the ladies look so bright. Me and the boys look for fine. Cause I just won't pick up my sign. It's hot late, not feeling weak. I need one with an extreme. We're out, I'm not feeling strong. But it's dream mine, it won't take long. We're talking dirty, all whispering on air. We're talking dirty, the word she likes to hear. Head on down to drop in. We're just here to look for sin. We'll play my cards, ace is high. She likes game, give it a try. But it's hot late, not feeling weak. And I got that one with me.
She likes to live.